Welcome to the Doghouse. So here's a question for all our fans. You've been listening to the show for many years.
It was too quick.
All our fans.
Welcome to the Doghouse.
Oh, I jumped right in. I'm just trying to be excitable.
I was not prepared for that. Go ahead.
So I was going to say, for all our fans been on there, what is the United States, superbike series in the United States? What is it? So some people think that it's actually Moto America, but I'm here tonight to tell you it's not. Actually, Moto America is the South African and Australian superbike series combined. Okay. It's specifically set up so that PJ Jacobson, an American, can lose the series as the Australian works with the South African to make sure PJ Jacobson does not win the series. And now Scholz is sitting on top of the series and they only have one stop left. So there's Supersport. There's Supersport blowing up, right?
I know the viewers can't watch. My mouth is wide open. I don't know whether I'm more impressed that you took the time to think about that or that you're so crazy now that you're living in Florida. You are that conspiracy theory, which I need to come down there and give you a high five.
Definitely. Conspiracy theories are what it's all about. So in any case, I watched it this weekend and I was just sort of pissed because everybody knows that listens to the show. And if you don't listen to the show and you haven't heard this rant before, I'm just going to give you the abbreviated version. Okay. Matthew Scholz, Cam Peterson, both superbike riders, both of them unable to achieve a championship in superbike. I really do like Cam Peterson. I got nothing against Matthew Scholz, right? I got nothing against these two guys. But when they couldn't win a superbike championship, they were able to drop down into super sport where they're sitting right now 1-3 in that. And I've made the point that, hey, look, if you can't cut it in superbike, super sport should not be an alternative because it's not fair to the guys coming up through super sport.
So I'm going to ask a couple questions.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, PJ Jacobson came over from racing on the world scene. Now it was only super sport.
That's true.
Okay. But Cam Peterson's team won. I mean, not Cam Peterson. I'm sorry. Matthew Scholz's team went away and this was the ride he could get. I don't know if that's the same difference of I couldn't make it.
Yeah, it is the same. It's exactly the same, and I'll explain why it's exactly the same.
You're going to have to explain
why. I feel bad for Matthew Scholz that his team went away, and I agree that on the surface you may say, oh, well, if that happens, then he should have any option he wants, but I disagree because if you consider yourself top tier in a sport, then you should expect that other teams will think you're top tier as well. It's not like there aren't not other teams in there. And it's not like if a team thought that with Matthew Scholz on board, they could win a championship in Superbike, he would have got a seat in Superbike. And that's true of Cam Peterson as well. What do you think Cam Peterson's there? He couldn't. Nobody else wanted him. I like Cam. He's a talented rider.
He was a Honda Superbike rider.
Yeah.
But Honda kind of vanished too.
Look, I can make all kinds of, these excuses happen, but when you're a top tier rider, seats become available for you because you bring money with you because the sponsors want to believe you're putting somebody on there that's got a chance of winning. The problem is the sponsors didn't believe that Cam Peterson or Matthew Scholz had a chance of winning in Superbike. And so when that doesn't happen, where do you think, oh, yeah, we'd sponsor him in super sport, but not in superbike, because we got to put a lot of money.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm gonna pull the Ken doing a Warren card.
Okay.
They're 1-4 in points.
No, 1-3.
Blake Davis is third in super sport.
I thought Cam Peterson was third. What are you looking at? Because I'm looking at
MotorAmerica.com/standings.
Oh, you are correct. You are correct. You are correct. I misread it. They are 1-4. That is true.
And am I correct in remembering that PJ won the first race?
He did, but he's also behind now by 7 points, right? He was ahead going into that race.
Yeah. But if you're going to be the champ, I believe it was the great Ric Flair who once said, to be the man, you got to beat the man.
Yeah, but you know what? Ric Flair didn't have to beat somebody that was basically 300 pounds more than him, right?
Yeah, he did many times.
We're talking about WWF.
WCW,
or WWA,
WWE.
Yeah. How that translates into...
No, what I'm saying is...
I get what you're saying.
You got to beat
the best.
I mean, you can be mad at Matthew Schultz and Cam Peterson.
Yes.
Coming in 1 and 2 and maybe working together.
Yeah, I mean, definitely working together.
I'm going to say maybe working together because they're not even on the same team.
Doesn't matter.
Right? Maybe they have a friendship. I don't actually know that they do.
Well, I mean, it's simple mathematics, right? If you pull PJ Jacobson back, even one position, it helps you in any chance.
Okay.
You
know, that but you it have. Also helps. It helps Cam Peterson.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, you know, his team's paying for him to podium and win.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the bottom line. This is if PJ Jacobson wants a championship, he needs to go win races.
I agree. I don't disagree that PJ Jacobson has to perform. Well, let me give you another perspective of this. Okay.
Yeah, because I'm
I'll give you another perspective.
Kent Kaplan that I used to do the show with was like, if you can't win the race, you don't deserve the championship.
Yeah, but
I'm
not saying anything any different. I think that's true, but I think that if you slant the rules in favor of somebody, then you kind of change
that,
right?
So what's the rule slant?
Well, my point is that if you take Matthew Schultz out of the championship this year, PJ Jacobson is 66 points ahead of Blake Davis.
Okay.
Which means he's already won the championship. You do realize that. If Matthew Schultz is not there. Okay.
But he's not. He's there.
Granted.
That's not slanting the rules. That is...
Ken's rules.
Yes, Ken's rules. All right.
Ken's rules. The only ones that count.
I don't remember you being this adamant. You might have complained. I don't remember you being this adamant when Josh Herring came back.
Yeah, it was.
Photo 2.
Yeah, it was.
Had to ride Super Sport that one or two years while Ducati was developing a bike.
I'll give you this. I wasn't as
he's
animated.
A former champ.
Wait. Hold on for a second, Phil. I'll give you that I wasn't as animated about that as I am about this. Why? Because when Josh Herring went down to Super Sport, it was, you know, glory days had already passed him by. I wasn't worried about him. What I did say about Matt, Josh was I said he's taking up a seat. And if you probably remember this, I said this. He's taking up a seat a young development rider could have had. That was my number one complaint. I did not think he would impact the championship, and I still feel that way. But I think both Matthew and Cam Peterson are taking a seat that a development rider could have, right? And in addition to that, they're getting an advantage, okay, over, in my opinion, PJ Jacobson, because it's like anything else. I'll give you a good example, okay? If you've been riding around on a bagger all the time, and suddenly somebody gives you a 650cc bike to go out and ride around, you're going to feel like you can just rip it up. You're just going to feel you can rip it up. It's so light in comparison. I mean, it's much more nimble and all that. That's exactly what happens.
You're
going to let me finish? That's what happens when you agree with you.
Yeah. I agree with you on that point.
Yeah, because Matthew Schultz and Cam Peterson now are going off for 1,000cc superbike, and they're getting onto a 780, whatever it is.
Okay.
CC,
so the argument you're making with me,
yes,
is that Motor America Super Sport, Motor America Superbike, is a much tougher, more competitive series than World Super Sport. That's the argument you just made with me.
Yeah, I think that's true.
You think that's true?
Yeah, I think that's true.
I don't know if I think that's true.
Well, I think the talent gets into play too. You've got to bring the talent.
That's
right?
What I'm saying. You're saying
but that's not
in Moto America Superbike than World Super Sport right now.
No.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
No, it is not what I'm saying,
because
Phil. What I said
Jacobson
was, hey,
was
we're going to eat the whole show
in
this.
We're going to World Superbike.
Let me
stomp a mud hole in somebody who ran fourth in points in Moto America Superbike.
Okay. So what I'm saying is somebody coming out of Superbike. has an advantage going down to Super Sport over the Super Sport riders because of the comparative differences in handling and weight of the bikes.
And what I'm saying is that the guy who was racing on the world scene and was second in points in World Super Sport a couple years ago should be dogging the fourth in points in Moto America Superbike. And it shouldn't be close.
I mean, I think that's a fair argument.
So I don't think it's a big conspiracy. I think PJ Jacobson needs to step up.
I don't think it's a big
races.
Conspiracy. I agree with you. I don't think it's a big conspiracy. I think the problem is that they just allowed it to happen. And I think, unfortunately, wherever you come down in this argument, the fact of the matter is if Matthew Scholes wasn't there, PJ Jacobson would be, he'd be 66 points ahead right now.
Yeah, we'd be complaining that he was beating Blake Davis and Tyler Scott and Kayla Yakov bad, and that's not fair.
No, I wouldn't be arguing
that. Complaint always happens.
Well, there's always something you can always say. You could say, well, PJ's on a Ducati, therefore he's got a big advantage over Blake Davis, and therefore that 66 points shouldn't account for anything. He's on a Yamaha. But wait, in Super Sport, historically, the Yamahas have had a big advantage over the Ducatis until really the last year or two, right?
You're going to make me say things that I don't want to say because I genuinely like PJ Jacobson.
I do too.
I felt that he made one bonehead decision in World Superbike and that cost him, but I don't know how much it cost him because I see what happened to Garrett Gerloff over there. Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. 32-year-old PJ Jacobson is racing 16, 17-year-old Kayla Yakov.
Yeah.
And 18-year-old Tyler Scott.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be mad at Matthew Scholes, don't be mad at the guy he's beating or Cam Peterson, because how old's Cam Peterson? He's got to be in that age.
They're all very close in age, actually, all three of them.
Yeah.
I think Matthew Scholes is the youngest of the three of them.
He might be.
Yeah,
so
I think he is.
It's not an age argument.
I was never making it.
You're talking about guys dropping down and beating each other, and I'm saying he's born in 94, so he's 31.
I don't want to beat a dead horse. Okay. In my opinion, guys dropping out of Superbike immediately have an advantage. Is it overcomable? Yes. I think what pissed me off this weekend the most is, to me, it really looked like Cam Peterson and Matthew Scholes were working together to keep PJ Jacobson further back because that's what they both needed. Right, that is an advantage for Cam because he closes the distance to PJ by the farther back he is,
He's not going to catch him.
It's too late if
Cam Peterson and was in the points race that could grab third, I would probably say, man, they were working together. And Ken,
well, they're going to work
right.
together. They're teammates.
No,
they're
not
going to work together.
Cam Peterson's on a Ducati. And Matthew Scholes.
No. I'm talking about Blake Davis, who's third in the championship.
Oh, Blake Davis. Yeah, all right. You were yelling at Cam Peterson.
No, I am. I'm still yelling at Cam Peterson. What I'm saying is the team was working together because the advantage gives you.
Who was working with who?
Matthew Scholes and Blake Davis were working together. Cam Peterson, I think his team was working with Yamaha to try and hold PJ Jacobson back. And also because Cam Peterson at that point had a chance of winning the race. So he finished
3 seconds behind him.
At the end of the race, he did. He wasn't 3 seconds behind him when it started to started to push on PJ.
You weren't mad at Chad Reed when he did that to who did Chad Reed do that to?
I don't know, but how does Chad Reed come up?
Somebody held somebody up, you don't know. Look, if you're racing for a championship and you can't pass the guy,
yeah,
that's not. I have no problem with somebody racing somebody hard.
You're absolutely right. I'm biased here, okay?
Yes.
Because I admit it. I wanted PJ Jacobson.
You hate foreigners, and I'm okay with
it. I totally do. I just, to me, I thought this was PJ Jacobson's year. It's not over yet, but it's tough.
It's not over yet, but he's got to earn it.
I agree. He's got to earn it. I think everybody who wins a championship's got to earn it, except for the French, who don't have to because they get those.
Right. I mean, obviously, who cares about the French?
But yes, he's got to earn it. And you know,
and how excited are you and I going to be if PJ Jacobson pulls the double the next round? Where's the final? Are they going to Jersey already?
Aren't they going to Coda? It's the final race, right?
Yeah. Or is it Coda? I can't remember where the final
I think it's Coda, right?
My brain is fried.
Yeah, I think it's Coda. I think they finish at Coda, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, well, I could actually tell you.
They got two more races.
They got Coda and then
Coda and then they finish at Jersey.
In Jersey. Okay. So they got two more. Jersey. So it's within reach.
So seven. Listen, you should be celebrating. There's a 7-point difference in point with two rounds to go, and it ain't over until you almost got me to say something really mean. But it ain't over until the fat lady sings. And it ain't over till the fat lady sings.
It that's true.
Right?
It's true. PJ Jacobson needs to come out at
Coda, make a statement, and stomp him down.
Oh, he's got to. He's got to. It's on PJ now.
It is.
And if he doesn't deliver, then it's Moto America's PJ. Fault.
It's not Moto America's fault. It's not Matthew Schultz's fault. It's PJ's. Bobby Fong would win the next four races and take the championship in that situation in Super Sport. He did it with a broken ankle 3 years ago, I think it was.
Yeah. Bobby Fong.
PJ needs to get the job done.
I would agree. All right. Well, PJ, there you go. There's the message from the doghouse.
The doghouse says it's in your
hand. It's in your hand. You just gotta lay down a marker. That's it.
You in charge of getting it. Get it.
Yep.
Right. Take what's yours.
Yeah.
Show him America's number one and beat him.
Yep.
Don't back into a championship. That's what losers do.
Yeah. All right, well,
I'm done.
I'm done because we've eaten up too much of the show.
Yeah, I don't care. No, I want to say the same thing because now that you got me all fired up.
Good. That's
I'm going to say the same thing to Josh Herron. I love Herron. I love Fong. I like Kambubia.
Herron's got a tougher job, I will say.
Oh, Herron got a miserable job. All three of those guys do. I wouldn't want to be any of them. Well,
I'd rather be Bobby Fong than any of the others.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, he's got a 17 point lead over Bouvier.
Yeah.
I'd rather be him. He can bleed some points and still win the championship. Herron doesn't have that. Herron's 27 points behind.
Yeah.
So Herron's got his work set out for him, and Bobby Fong.
But everybody thought this was Herron's year.
Everybody did.
Right. Yeah. And I'm going to say the same thing to Herron that I just said to PJ. You want the championship? Get your ass out there and earn it.
Yeah, he's got to do it.
Right?
He's got
to do Fong, it. Bobby Fong, you want the championship? You're in the driver's seat. Get your ass out there and learn. Cam Bouvier, Josh Herron, even Jake Gagne could sneak in the back door. There's 100 points left. I don't see it possible. But guys, get the job done.
Yeah, I'm looking at it like this right now. Bobby Fong controls this. It's up to him. It's only up to Bobby Fong how this ends up.
If he wins out, he wins.
He doesn't even need to win out. He's just got to win. He's got to win at least one and come in second place in three.
He's got to win three out of four to guarantee.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He's only got to come in second place in three and win one. Then he's got more points than anybody can. Then Cameron can catch him. Cameron's 17 points behind. He can bleed 15 points and still win.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah,
but I'm just.
But anyway, I'm going to say this, Josh Herron. Josh, you've won it multiple times. Okay, so don't take this the wrong way. I'm rooting for Bobby Fong.
I'm going to say this, and you'll probably hear about this on Moto America because they probably are listening and trying to steal it. But is that going to make Bobby Fong the first? Okay, Bobby Fong that I can remember off the top of my head has a Super Stock Championship, a Super Sport Championship.
Yeah,
I think he has a Stock 600 Championship.
Stock 1000, maybe.
No, I said that first.
He did stock. Okay.
I thought when he ran Super Sport 1 year, he ran it on a stock stock 600.
I don't recall that. If he did, I don't recall it.
He might be the guy with the most championships over a genre of racing, right? Like,
I think Cam Bouvier's way ahead, actually.
Where else did Cam Bouvier win?
Cam Bouvier, well, he's got multiple in Superbike.
Yeah, no, I don't mean that. I mean like in the most classes.
You'd have to go back and take a look. Cameron Bouvier won, I think, I'm sure he's won in multiple classes. So.
I know he won in Super Sport.
Yeah.
I don't know if he won in anything else besides Superbike.
Don't know. Bouvier's broken a bunch of records. So,
yeah.
But anyway, all right. Well, we'll see how it comes out.
Yeah.
We'll see how it comes out. But Bobby, okay.
Bobby, be
the first non-Asian American to win.
Get it, Bobby Fong. Get it.
Get it. There you go.
But the other guys, I'm saying this. I'll be any of the three of them win, I'm going to be happy. I'm so happy that it's going to be a battle to the last race.
I like Cam Bouvier, but I wouldn't be happy if Cam Bouvier won.
I would see a BMW win it.
It doesn't matter to me. I could care less. If I want to see a BMW win a championship, I'll watch World Superbike.
World War II winners,
yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be upset if Heron won it. I wouldn't be even upset if Bouvier won it, but I would be extremely upset if Gagne
If
Gagne pulled it out,
every brand racing for the championship was on the wrong side of World War II.
You know who I want to win, and he's already mathematically out of it. The Steaming Burrito.
Oh, Escalante?
Yep.
Yeah, he's way out.
He's way out. Unfortunately. More than 100 points out. So
yeah, he's done.
Yeah.
All right. So. We wasted a lot of time on that, but I think
that's fine. We're going to make it up right now on motocross. Okay. Jet Lawrence clinches the championship, and Hayden Deegan blows it.
Jet Lawrence didn't clinch. There's 50 points up for grabs.
No,
right?
he clinched the championship. They said that on the show. They said he clinched the championship.
He's ahead by the same amount of points that what's his name?
I gotta go. I'm gonna have to go to Pro Motocross because I'm pretty sure
he's ahead
by 50.
No. 51. Oh, 51 points. Yeah.
Yeah.
53 points. Yeah, he did. Okay.
Yeah, he clinched that.
And Hagen Deegan is up by 43.
Yeah.
So long as Deegan finishes in the top five in the next.
He can actually clinch it in race one, this coming race one. So, but I know he wanted to clinch it there, and it wasn't
because he wanted to race a 450.
It was not one of Deegan's better performances. He got a second in the first race, which was great, but he had to like come way back to get that second place. And then the only way he was going to go win the overall, which would have clinched it for him, was to take first. The problem is the guy that he was being mouthy against, Joe Shimoda, was the guy that withheld him winning
Shimoda. Yeah,
exactly.
The red plate's heavy. That thing weighs like 90 pounds.
The red plate is amazingly heavy. So that
weighs like 90 pounds, bud. 90
that was
pounds.
That was pro motocross. So anyway.
Is there any... Okay, MotoGP, I mean, it's a Mark Marquez show until it's not.
Yeah, he could be the earliest championship winner actually in history. Yeah,
which means they have to do away with the sprint races.
Yeah, that's why he's gonna break the record, they're saying. So because he's up, his closest competitor is 138 points behind him.
Something like that.
Yeah. Oh no, more than that, 148 points behind
him. Yeah. And then Moto 2 is a disaster.
I love it. I mean, I love where Moto 2 is right now because Aaron Canet needed Emmanuel Gonzalez's bike to blow up because he had a miserable race. The interesting guy, the guy who's going to benefit potentially from what happened this last week and more than anybody else is Diego Moreira.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he won. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, but he's only behind by 60. They're all three, I think, exactly the same number of points behind, right? Gonzalez is in the top. I think you go back, like, what is it?
It's 19 points.
Yeah, 19 points. And then Moreira is 16 points behind Canet.
No, it's 20. 16, yeah.
Yeah, 16. Ooh. So it's 19 and 16. I mean, Gonzalez is in tough shape.
And Baltus,
he's in tough shape right now because there's a lot of racing left in MotoGP.
Yeah, and Baltus has been on a bit of a podium and kind of upper.
Yeah, but he's not consistent. He's not consistent. Yeah, and that's the problem.
But he's still gaining points. He's within 40.
Well, he's having
10 of Maria.
Yeah, he's gaining points on the leader because everybody's gaining points on the leader and Canet because they've had a couple really not great races, right? Canet got hurt.
The break was the worst thing forever for those guys.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it is. I agree 100%. I don't think they should get
when guys are racing hot, that break kills momentum.
Yeah, there's definitely no clear winner in the championship in Moto2, so that's good. I like that. And in MotoGP, there's really nothing to... The question is whether or not what records is Marquez going to break. He did get a really good compliment.
Records are arms.
He got a really good compliment from Valentino Rossi this weekend,
which is shocking.
Valentino Rossi said that when he came into Honda, everybody knew that Honda wasn't the fastest straight line bike, but it had really good handling aspects. But the Yamaha was no slouch. But with Marquez on the Repsol Honda, he was so much better than anybody else in corner speed that it made up for the difference in straight line speed. And he said the only thing he was lacking was the grunt. And he says on the Ducati, he's got the grunt. And he said there's no one's going to touch him right now. And this is a guy whose potential, he goes the 10 championship wins, is he's the next guy in line, right, Marquez, to do that.
And Rossi hates him.
And Rossi hates him, and he complimented him, which yeah, I mean, I take that as being very sincere. Yeah. For Rossi to say that,
or that Rossi him on the Italian, and he Italian said, evil eye jinx.
Yeah, and he said something else. He said the fact that he's as fast in corner speed on the Ducati is one of the most impressive things. So he's got this. He's got everything on the Ducati. And there was an interesting thing I read about Bagnaia and why Bagnaia is having so much trouble. And it looks like it's because of Gigi. It looks like it's because of Gigi Dallini.
Yeah, duh. What I've said. You're either the A-bike or the B-bike.
No, it's not that at all, because Bagnaia has now eventually gone back to pretty much the Marquez's setup, but that's not what it is. Gigi Dallini rear-biased the bike for Marc Marquez because Marc Marquez, again, a flat-track racer, right, likes a rear-biased bike so he can slide it all the time, right? He steers more with the rear wheel than the front wheel. Now, what did that do to Bagnaia? Bagnaia is not a flat track guy, and Bagnaia has had no front end feel at all. Why? Because you got to steer with your ass, and Bagnaia doesn't know how to do it.
For the listener, let me translate that for the average listener, that the number one rider gets the bike set up the way he wants it, and the number two rider gets the bike the way the number one rider gets it. That's why there's an A team and a B team.
That's
and
called
Bagnaia with a B is the B team.
Now let me translate that for the listeners.
So that's the translation called, Phil's been right all along.
No, that's called Philosophy. Okay, that's where Phil thinks that his theory is right,
so
despite all evidence to the contrary.
I will tell you what, we are going to do a poll. If you believe that, send an email, say Phil was right. If you think Ken's right, don't send an email. No one wants to hear from you. You put it on our Facebook page, text it, I don't care how it gets to us. You can run out of Phil
Pedro Acosta. Pedro Acosta is going to be in Bagnaia's seat next season.
On the B-bike.
It's
going, I don't know how to slide the rear end. And the unibrow dude's going to be like, too bad, you're the B-bike. I'm not investing any time in it.
So what team do you think Bagnaia will be in World Superbike next year?
Probably
BMW's looking for a rider.
Emers? I don't know. I don't know. You're a terrible person.
Kid. I am a terrible
person. Probably come
That's
over to
my
America
Phil
and run
philosophy.
Super sport.
Mark that.
To America
word
and
mark.
Super sport.
Word mark. Word mark. Verbal trademark.
We'll be back next week.